Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What about these magical weight loss things that are around there? Would you ever consider that?
No, because I can do it without that.
Okay.
I've used weight loss drugs.
Yeah, I know. You've proven it.
Fen-Phen didn't kill me.
Yeah.
I did them all.
Rob and I really keep it light most of the time when we talk with each other.
Being on the phone.
That's an accusation.
One of the greatest goals. She's in the
Kia, right?
2017-18 Kia Sorento. Still a nice car. We like
it. Still a nice car, but it ain't your Subaru.
It ain't, no. But then you know what? Nor does she spend 2.5 hours in the car every day.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Absolutely. Good for her. Okay. We spent a lot of time on you today, Mr. Man.
That Kia is great to get to and from plastic surgery appointments.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world, you're listening to The Mike O'Mara Show in great cities like Wellsville, New York, Leavenworth, Washington, Ding Dong, Texas, Bakersfield, California, Taichung, Taiwan, and Schwabisch Gmünd, Germany. The Mike O'Mara Show is, did I get it right?
Yeah, I just like saying it.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We begin today's festivities without hesitation whatsoever to congratulate our man, Rob Spiewak, who has 1 year of sobriety today.
Thank you.
He will not be getting a coin.
No.
He will not be getting anything other than our adulation and... To be perfectly honest, it's an amazing accomplishment, and he's done that with no meetings, any therapy at all?
No.
Any therapy?
Well, no, I had some pretty deep talks with my doctor, but I don't know if that counts as therapy.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Dr. Kevin, is that his doctor?
Well, yeah,
he calls him Kevin.
It's his name. But he's Dr.
But
Lee.
You've done it. You've toughed it out. You've done it all on your own, and... Right. There are people who attempt...
I don't know how that's possible.
...attempt 1 week of sobriety and have trouble.
It's crazy.
And they have to go in and out of the situation.
I've heard of dry January. People have trouble with that. Sober
willpower.
Sober October is sometimes
I quit
an
for
issue.
About a year at one point.
No, you had to. You're a mess.
What do you mean I had to?
No,
what,
no Oscar, I had to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, but he
Mike,
did. It was optional.
You're making it all about you already. He did. He had to quit.
Yeah, but here's the question I have for Rob. So you did it. Cold turkey.
Yes.
And you did it and self-motivated yourself by like posting 1 month, 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah.
And you did it without, and we really haven't talked about that journey because it just hasn't come up. We talked much more about.
We also didn't want to jinx it.
Well, we also, I didn't even think of those terms. Now, Oscar and I, if we're being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
In private conversations, we perhaps have discussed the possibility that maybe you were again.
No, do not paint me in that light, sir.
Well,
God willing, he does not relapse because of all the hardship he's been through this
past
few months.
And I think one time I may say, he's not drinking again, is he?
Yeah.
So in that way,
yes.
Because you didn't. You didn't get any assistance and... We just haven't talked about it,
no.
So I have to ask you some questions
and
about...
I'll just say one thing. It was weird, and it's different for Mike to give it up a year than for me to give it up a year, because I did drink every day.
Yeah.
It was part of
secret.
Well, no. I mean, I never really hit it, but
well,
I mean...
you didn't come in every day and tell...
You hid the amount of it.
Sure.
Your wife didn't. She says she didn't know.
No, I guess not, but... I mean,
then you're in secret.
Why go to a therapist when you can go to your favorite therapist, the one who's easiest on you?
No. But what I'm saying is that I never hid the drinking itself. I never did it in hiding from her.
No. But you,
oh my
but
God.
Listen to me.
What?
You went into your basement and you drank a lot down
there.
Yeah, but
that wasn't hiding. That wasn't hiding. It was just what I did.
It was not. It wasn't that it wasn't hiding, and I don't want to have an argument about
this. That's fine.
But wasn't it sort of keeping it away from the didn't you stay away? She had indicated that you stayed away
but didn't have
from
to
the
it,
rest of the family.
Didn't have to do with the drinking. Just was staying away
it
from
didn't?
Family. No, I don't think so. I was you know what? Actually, I take that back. It was a factor in it because I would like to drink and maybe cruise the internet or drink and watch an old movie.
Spend time with your favorite person.
Right. And they had no interest in that. So, yeah.
Are you blaming them? No, I'm not putting it on them. You hid down there.
No, but how do you know? They don't have any interest in hanging with me if I'm going to watch Casablanca for
denial, the 50th. Denial. It's interesting. Look, you've been successful, but you have to accept the reality that this problem happened in your world because it was not upstairs on the main floor where everybody else in your household was.
This is true. Okay,
it's not like you were sitting on the couch with your wife as I do every night until she goes into the bedroom and then
it's
Grand Marnier.
Grand Marnier and protein
flagons
bars.
Of it.
It's rows and rolls of Oreos.
But that's because you were downstairs. Your alcohol was downstairs.
I had a fridge downstairs, but when
your mixers were downstairs.
No, that was always. I always had to go upstairs because that's where the booze was. The booze was on the main level.
So the booze was on the main level, and where was Carrie?
Carrie was on the main level, so I'd have to go up to the kitchen and make the drink if I was going to make a drink, and I always did.
But, and you didn't. It didn't. It okay. I didn't know that. I always thought you were drinking and mixing down like there in the basement.
Now, self-contained.
There were beers in the fridge in the garage, but
you drank mostly hard alcohol.
But toward the end, it was not very often, Barry. At the end of my life.
So, what's the toughest thing about going without because you quit for long periods of time?
Let Oscar catch his breath.
I just If you ever are so inclined to listen back to that last 3 minutes of logic that you were trying to build, it would be the most lopsided pyramid ever because it was upstairs, downstairs. She knew, she didn't know. They didn't want to watch Casablanca with me, so I drank. It's okay to be vulnerable. You did the hard work.
In the evenings, the way I would know it, and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
There was so little contact between you and your wife, so little conversation between you and your wife that she probably wouldn't have known she would be asleep by the time you were done.
Often, yeah.
When you would have said, did you ever come to bed like plastered?
Of course.
And was she aware of that?
No, she was asleep.
So you said some of the time.
Yeah.
Did she ever call you out on, my God,
like
you were so sloppy last night?
No, there was one embarrassing time. It was and I think I talked about it on the show. If not, it's a good time to bring it up. It was during one of our supper clubs when I just started.
That's a social event.
Yeah. I started really hard and fast at the beginning. And by the time I had the steaks cooked perfectly, by the way, and put them on the table, I had, dinner for eight set at our table, and I set the steaks down, and I said, good night, everybody. I'm done.
Because you'd been overserved.
I'd been overserved by myself.
But on day-to-day, where you were saying you drank every single day.
Yeah, I didn't often get, I don't feel sloppy or plastered, as you say. I would be.
But you would have no way to know because didn't. No one who was awake would see the results
of a disease.
Yeah, and I would never go to bed having the ability to drive. I would say that. I would say 45 days of 50, I was too, I had enough to drink that I wouldn't drive.
I remember this. Carrie, in the post-mortem.
I'm confused by what he just said.
He gave us a riddle. I have no
idea. It's not a riddle.
You totally conjured there. What do you mean?
When you talk about being like, I was sloppy, drunk like that, that didn't always happen. But I would say that most nights, I would not be safe to drive an automobile. I'd had enough to drink that I was, inebriated to that point where I couldn't drive.
You were legally drunk.
Legally drunk. That's a good point.
If you're
not legally blonde.
If you're
or blind.
Yeah.
Significant other had been aware of the condition you were in when you would come to bed in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like really like wide awake. We're going to have a conversation. Do you think it might have been identified or would have been a comment made?
There were times when she said, I think you're drinking a lot. And I'm not. No more than normal. You know,
that, she, that, but that wouldn't happen at night. That would just be like, when would that be brought up? Just out of curiosity.
I would say like, you know, maybe during dinner or something, you know, just when conversation. I mean, she was aware that there was drinking going on.
But not to the level it was.
Probably not. I mean, if she had.
Probably not or not.
It was enough that she brought it up at least once or twice. So she was aware there was a lot of drinking, but I would say no. She didn't know the exact.
I can from my accounts and talking to Carrie, and I'm not breaking the tree of trust. Later,
that's fine.
And you're
winning. Yeah, so this is all in the past.
Yeah,
all,
but this is also
relitigating
people that are dealing with this now. This is gonna be a lifelong battle. And we're here to support you.
Yeah,
that's just the truth. I remember a couple telling aspects of my conversation when you're in the hospital, right?
Right.
You were under. I remember asking Carrie, how did we miss it, right? How did we miss it here on the show? And she said, you know, how did I miss it? Because, you know, I recall the kids, your kids.
Yeah.
Talking to me in private, saying, I think dad's drinking too much. Like here and there, privately to her. And then
Pony Math Bloom writes, Oscar, yes, it took about 3 minutes for congratulations to turn into accusations.
Now, that's not true. It was 2 minutes.
Well, if when people don't give us straight answers, it drives up the wall.
Do you get why we get concerned about this a little bit?
Look, I understand the concern, but I think this is a day for celebration.
You're the next on the list, by the way.
Oh, well, you're the next. We all know where my problems come from.
Yeah. You start throwing darts.
Yeah. But no,
I'm amazed that you would be in support of lack of accountability.
Yes. So,
but anyway, go ahead. Let's move on.
Oh, snap!
So with Carrie, she said, I think like the last time it really came to a head for her was when you were at Jimmy's with the kids or with Robert,
right?
And then I guess he drove you home or one of the kids drove you home. And like, I think Dad's drinking way more than he used to. So it must have been an escalation.
Could be.
And I want to make something really clear if I can.
Yes.
And it's not because Pony brought that up, but it makes me think about the word accusation. I believe that there are people in this conversation that are not accusing because it's all in the past anyway.
Right.
But there is concern that without a regular check-in, without regular, and this has to do with booze or food or anything, without someone to talk to about this on a regular basis, even if it's every 2 months or so, that there is danger of things happening, habits developing, redeveloping, where, you know, I think everybody has to admit at some point that they need some help. I have a therapist. My wife has a therapist. I am on medication. My wife is on medication. You know, there are lots of tools out there to help. I know you are on medication as well, but you have gone this alone.
Well, and you say that, but no.
But talking to your doctor doesn't count.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that being here has been infinitely helpful. Being able to talk to you and Oscar.
But you don't think, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm expressing concern that with going forward, I want to make sure.
We talk offline. I don't want to make a big deal of it. We talk about on a regular basis.
And also,
we're actually friends off the. I don't want to make it weird.
I hate we when are he friends talks about off this.
The. Right.
But
Rob and I really keep it light most of the time when we talk with each other.
Being on the phone.
But I had to remark on this. One of the.
That's an accusation.
One of the greatest goals. One of the most helpful calls I got after I got back in studio and things started to get back to normal, right? I was out for about, I think, 7-8 weeks, right? And I got back in and I got a call from someone that I had no word to word. I had texted maybe, I had emailed or done Facebook stuff, but hadn't talked to this guy since college. And he called me up and he said, hey, see what you're going through, and I want you to know something. I said, what? He says, I'm dry X number of months or whatever. And he said, I have a post-it at my desk of the local AA. And if I ever need it, it's right there. Haven't needed it yet, but it's always an option. And that's the thing that really resonated with me. That
so if do you I feel, have a post-it near your desk with the, or do you carry the number of
no,
the AA?
No, but it's an easy Google away. What I have is the notion in my head that if I ever feel that I need to talk to somebody, or if I am getting closer to grabbing a drink, that would be my first thing to do. And he said, you know,
you've never been to a meeting?
Never have. Never have.
But I've always thought it might be interesting to go to a meeting just to.
There's one a block away.
Everywhere.
Is that
right?
The one that Matt goes to?
I wish.
Yeah. But yeah,
I just think
everywhere.
It'd be helpful.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're all virtual as well, but there's a meeting place literally a block away from here.
But
see, my feeling is going to a meeting that if you walked into a meeting, you might be, asked to talk or.
Yeah, but you love commanding an audience.
Yeah, but not if
I'd
I'm
love
not.
You in my meeting.
But I'm not planning on not drinking.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
I still like to have an occasional beverage, like, as I think I demonstrated rather aptly the Monday of Mark's funeral.
Right. Yes.
By the time I got on the plane, that helps me an awful lot when I'm flying because I don't like to fly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you've never had any desire to do that, and you've done this all on your own. What's the best thing about it? What's the worst thing about it?
I have a couple of the best things I jotted down, actually.
Okay.
This seems stupid, but when you go out to dinner, it is inordinately cheaper. I can't believe how much money you spent on having a few drinks at dinner. It is so much cheaper.
Also, can I just counterpoint, if I can? The Michelob Ultra at Buffalo Chips down the street.
Yes.
Best wings in the world.
Yeah.
Super cheap.
Well,
food and drink.
That's
well,
good.
What's cheap in like a beer? Well, a cocktail the 3 weeks ago.
Buffalo Chips is a bargain beer price.
Yeah, but I'm curious what a bargain is in Florida.
Well, you buy the pitcher, so I'm not sure by beer.
Michelob Ultra on draft,
not only on draft, but served in one of those plastic pitchers that has ice put in the stainless steel.
I know exactly what you mean.
This
Hana Manana. I can't believe I haven't purchased
one for the home. Do you know why we're broken,
I think
America?
Even when I was an alcoholic, I wouldn't drink Michelob Ultra on draft.
Oh, it's great on tap. It's great.
If you're at home and you're wondering, well, how do I explain this show to my friends and evangelize about how great the Mike O'Mara show is? If you just imagine, like, get this. One of their, the main hosts is celebrating a year of sobriety. And within 5 minutes of that conversation, they start talking about how cheap pitchers of beer in Florida are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A place that I'm headed to.
This is how wild this show is.
I don't want to label my parents, God rest their souls, as alcoholics.
Right.
But I know that as a matter of routine,
yes,
Mr. and Mrs. O'Mara would always have a drink at home before they would go out to dinner. And then they would have one at the restaurant.
Yes.
Because that saved them money. So bingo, I got to give you the bell for that one. You are absolutely correct. And maybe if I turn up the volume, you can hear the bell. Thank you very
also,
much.
Also, I'm getting
sorry,
I'm
shit-faced. I'm sorry
stop
about that.
Now, that's a horrible word. Why would you say that? I am getting much better and more sleep. Because there's no reason to stay up late at night to keep drinking because I'm not drinking. So I go to bed, and also you don't have to deal with the fact that how many times did I wake up at 1 or 2 in the morning?
Because of the sugar.
Because of the sugar and the alcohol wearing off. I
can
much
concur
more
with
solid.
That 1,000% because I would say both Carla and I would tell you that alcohol just destroys sleep patterns.
Yep.
And by the way, we've got the little ring that monitors your health that you put on your finger, and
I
Carla's
that,
religious about it.
I don't wear it on my finger though.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got the Nuvo ring.
Yeah.
Still blood flow monitoring. Carla does it religiously, and she can show you how disrupted her sleep patterns are when she's had anything to drink.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's absolutely
it's huge. And
1,000%
also, I don't even want to talk about, I have to get up very early every morning. I couldn't do it if I was still drinking. The fact that when I wake up, I can put my feet on the ground.
When you go
and
walking.
Go.
Yeah.
It's just, it's.
I don't know how. I look back also to a certain time in my life and, that was when I had a late schedule. So,
afternoons almost killed you.
Afternoons
not
were
mornings.
Problematic. Oh God, you know. But I did it in mornings too.
I know.
I did it in mornings too.
Yeah, but
too.
You, thank God you were a little older when when afternoons came to your rescue. But
yes,
I remember.
But
coming
it, did that? Don't you think that enabled me?
How old were you when you had O'Mara's?
40s.
Like, I'm 44 now. You had a bar at 44?
I had a bar at 40, right in the early part of my 40s.
I don't know how you did it. I couldn't even imagine going out every
Carla talks
evening.
About that. And Carla talks about how we roared back in the day. And I'm talking smoking, drinking,
oh, your voice,
staying up
when
late.
When you come in, it would be toast.
Yeah, and inevitably they'd ask me to do Charlie. And I'd be like, Charlie,
that's when we had we had a great office with a sofa, and I would, you know, before the show stopped by, I said, hey, how you doing, Mike?
Well, it was an interesting environment.
It was.
So that's the prices too. That's
cheaper.
And overall,
sleep.
Life is just easier if I don't have to coordinate. On the way home, do I have to go to the liquor store? Do I have to figure out, is this going to happen? Do I have to plan for someone else to drive me if I'm going to be at an event?
That's good.
I mean, it's one less hiccup in the system. Also, I think I'm a little more present.
Oh, my God. That is true.
And,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, on the show?
Well, just in life in general, it's not like...
Well, I only care about the show part.
Okay.
But
for that 80 minutes, he cares.
As far as the bad part, what's the bad part?
Now don't take this the wrong way. I still drink like an alcoholic. Like if I get myself, and one thing when I treat myself, I will occasionally have a Coke or something like that. That's very rare anymore. But I have these things that they're flavored seltzer. It's called Bubbly.
Yeah, we're familiar.
Yeah, and they have essence of fruit in them, and they're quite tasty, and they're no calories, and I can have them. And I open one, say it's like a pineapple-flavored one or whatever, and I pretty much shotgun the first one. I mean, it's not designed to be pounded.
No, that's like a 30-minute beverage.
Yeah, I open it.
And it's just pretty much carbonated water,
that's
right?
All it is, but I'm drinking it like it's a high schooler and his first beer. And I'm like, this is not healthy behavior. But that's still
yeah, but you're getting your hydration, which is healthy.
Yeah, I think the underlying habit is the concern. I have to watch out for that. I'm also more aware of having the addictive personality that I do as far as consumption. I've lost a lot of weight. I've put a little back on. I had a rough go this year.
Oh, my God.
I just looked at Oscar and his eyes went down. What was that move?
I knew that Rob was coping. And this is when you hate me, America. Fine. Someone said to me.
I'm waiting for a text after you.
Someone my wife. She goes, do you think he's okay? Like, I hope he's because we're concerned for you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I said, nah, he's just eating his emotions.
It's probably
well,
right.
Yeah,
I was like, which is better than drinking his emotions.
Yeah, I mean, I had, when Mark was going through what Mark Twitch was going through, all his stuff, I was unable to go to the gym. Mm. And when I would come home, I really wasn't into fish and veggies. You know, I'm getting back on track now, and it's not anything that's unreversible. But when I sit down and I say, oh, I think I just want to have, you know, like, yeah. Maybe just a couple tortilla chips.
Or a creme brulee.
And maybe some salsa. And then...
Now I feel guilty about when you guys come down because we want to take you all out. And
there's always smart ways to eat. I mean, don't change...
Not at Mia.
No, don't change anything on my account.
Not at Mia.
But Mia's, I just have
just
to be...
fat paradise.
I have to be careful because if I'm going to have one of something, I'll have two or four or eight. And that probably is rooted in the alcoholism.
But, yeah, but you're very self-aware of it.
You're
so
also, you're battling through grief.
This is true.
Like, I'm not, I have a bad interaction with Pony because he doesn't, you know, come clean about something you forgot. And I run straight to McDonald's downstairs and get a bucket of fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the three of us definitely, and probably most people.
I'm sad to say that. It's the truth.
We'll tend to eat their emotions.
Yeah, and I don't have my escape that I used to.
Yeah.
And did I want to have a drink when Mark died? very, very much.
That's tough.
And I sat home and I said, God, it would feel really good to have one, but I can't. I can't do it. And also, you know, it was to the point where
Mark wouldn't want that either.
I had, you know, when Mark was intubated and out of it because he was so sedated and on painkillers, I'd talk to him anyway. I'd do running stupid monologues.
Aww.
And I'd tell him, I said, you know what? It should be me in that bed, aww, Mark, because of the way I abused myself and the way I had so many stupid decisions, stuff you never did. I should be the one that's in the hospital. And when you get out of this, we're going to be healthy together and we're going to do this together. And I can't let it go. I've got to stay on track. Yeah. And I mean, it was stupid to let it go a little bit because of the grief, but again, it's reversible.
You're
it's
human.
Something I can yeah. do. But man, it's hard. And I mean, the other night, this is weird, I had a dream about a drink. And I in the dream, I knew I couldn't have it.
Mm.
And it was just that the whole dream, and I don't know if I ever drank it or not, but the whole dream was me staring at a drink.
Mm.
And am I going to drink it? Am I not? But in the dream, I knew I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I owe it to too many people. I owe it to my wife. I owe it, God, to my kids. To Oscar and Mike, who I love you guys so much, because it would have been really easy to toss me out because I was a foregone conclusion and a mess a year ago. And you stuck by me and you made it graceful and easy to go through the recovery and have me back on the air and occasionally pop in like toe in the water type appearances. And when we got back in, it was good to go. And I've got beloved family that have been by me the entire time. And I would be stupid if I didn't mention the listener base of this show that were so supportive from the word go. Even before they knew exactly what was going on. I hope everything's all right. Yeah. And I hope you're okay. And
private messages.
Yes. An answerable amount of love coming in via social media and email. And I've read a lot about it, and they say the first year of sobriety is the craziest, because during that first year, you're going to have all of your firsts, your first sober birthday, your first sober Thanksgiving, your first sober Christmas, this will be my first sober St. Patrick's Day. Although it kind of counts last year because they weren't serving in the hospital. So it counts.
Your second one.
But it's just, when I look back over the last year, all the stuff, I'm just so lucky to be here. And
it's a great way to look at it. It really, really is. And, you know, as far as the drinking is concerned, and I'm curious how you feel about this because you don't touch it. I found that week of that tournament where we had Mark come on and I kind of acted out and that take my behavior out of the equation, because I'm not going to lay it on alcohol being in my system,
right?
Because most of the time,
and we should say Miller, not Twitch, since we had mentioned Twitch before,
most of the time I felt as though that I was a fish out of water, which might have contributed to my angst anyway, where that world that I just adored, and I still adored, I still like playing around and having a drink afterwards.
Yeah.
But and most people who have played in these events around the country that are golfers will tell you that it is 50% play and 50% drinking. That's what it is. It's a drink-a-thon. They had a vodka bar set up out on the course. It's drink, 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 drink. And I don't know. Maybe it's the drugs I'm on for, weight loss and all the BDs. But it's just, you feel, I have that question for you, because you don't socialize that much, but do you find yourself feeling a little bit like a fish out of water in certain situations?
It's funny you should bring that up, because I always felt that doing this thing we do in this business of show, we end up in certain situations where we are literally a fish out of water. We don't belong. We're hosting, mm-hmm. or we're invited to mm-hmm. something or something. But I always felt that I was only about 2.5-3 beers from fitting in anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, miss it. Yeah. And as far as fish out of water, probably. And it's weird. I don't like want people around me to not drink. That doesn't trigger me. I mean, if you want to have a belt, do it. That's great. But also, I don't make a big deal of the fact. I mean, we're making a big deal of it now. But in day-to-day stuff, I don't say, no, I'm not drinking anymore because I almost killed myself from alcoholism. So I'll have a Pepsi. I don't say that. I just
can use the line a buddy of mine used to use.
Which is what?
I'm allergic. If I drink anything, I break out in asshole.
Well, if I'm allergic,
I always thought that was kind of a fun line.
Yeah.
Probably more appropriate for me than it is for you. Do you find yourself, I'll tell you one place where I get them, and you guys can relate to this. Yeah. If I'm doing an auction.
That's like once a year for you.
Yeah, I know it's once a year, but it's still even at the last one
every,
I did.
He's got to live that every day, essentially, where people around him being like, I'm going out to happy hour. I'll have a drink. Or do you want this bottle of wine?
No, but I'm just saying that performance.
Yeah, yes. It is.
Even back when we did live shows, we walk on stage at a live show with a drink in my hand. Hey, kids, don't worry. I won't leave you out.
Attaboy.
But anyway.
But also, another thing I learned, and it's horrifying to look back on social media through the past years, how much I let alcohol define me. And that's horrifyingly embarrassing that seldom a day goes by. I didn't need to do that. And I've done some public stuff in the past year, and I can still pull it off.
Yeah, you
sober.
Killed it at the auction.
Oh, yeah, you could do it. You're a performer anyway. So
I mean,
I never even thought about that.
I just, but as far as being a fish
to give you a microphone in New Orleans, have you walk out and say, hi, everybody, I'm Rob Spielik. I haven't been drinking. No, it's that's like getting in a living room with our family when we do that.
But again, it is.
By the way, tickets are still available.
When you talk about, the first year, the first time you go do something like that, and you don't have a little bit of courage, you think about it because I've done it for 30 years that way.
I don't do it to calm nerves. I do it to avert hate.
Yeah, but you got to be careful because too many it'll bring up.
Yeah, because too many you'll flip the hate switch.
You'll turn.
But man, if I ignored this one guy who was such an a-hole to me in an auction, I can do it in any circumstance.
Yeah, sure.
That is just a thankless position. You're in. So next to the, it seems to me from listening to you, the positives outweigh the negatives, which
100%.
Is really,
yeah, I should have done this.
A good situation.
Should have done this years ago.
How about your family and how they, I got a different vibe from your family. We weren't there with Robert, but your daughter, Julia, and your wife, Carrie, I got a very relaxed vibe.
Yeah, they were drinking
from
around
that family.
You.
Yeah, well, I think. Well, Julia was.
Jesus, I didn't mean it that way.
No.
I meant that everybody seems.
I noticed
they seemed happy.
I think so. I think there is a relaxed. You said there is a relaxed tone. I mean, it was never really, really tense. I don't guess, or maybe I didn't notice it because I was plowed. But
remember those shows we did, Rob? It was tense.
Yeah, well, it could be tense. Those shows were kind of. They were kind of dicey, Oscar.
When it makes, laundry would
a lot
out.
Of makes sense now because I remember we were sitting there like, I don't think Rob understands like what we're doing. And he's like, and you'd sit there and then looking back at them, you'd be so hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be zoned out.
Yeah. We're like, are you here? Yeah. What's going on?
But
so you're more present though.
Yes.
When I hear that, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel that way.
And I've had one-on-one talks with the kids. And, there are things I regret and just, not being as present. I don't think I was ever a really bad father.
Does it concern you about the family gene? It certainly concerns me. And I'm lucky that on their own, my kids don't really pound. I don't really know.
No.
I really don't know. And I don't know a lot. And that's part of being a parent when your kids move away and you're not part of their life.
Yeah.
But thank you for bringing that up, Oscar.
And they are not adopted. I always forget.
They are not adopted. But I look at my son's obsession with video games.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that will translate to an addictive personality. And I don't think so, because I think already he has demonstrated an ability to intellectualize his issues with things like that. He knows that it's not always good for him. Mm-hmm. He knows, and the kid is...
These kids are smarter than we are.
That's very different, because all the time I was drinking, I kept saying, this is good for me.
Sometimes.
Do you know how much vitamin C I got from that lemonade? A lot. I never got a cold.
Yeah. A lot of the sugars.
Yeah.
But sometimes late at night during my heaviest drinking period of my life, yes. when Mrs. O'Mara would, and by the way, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, where Mrs. O'Mara would turn in and the ashtray would be full of some dead soldier smokes. The Red Sox game was going into extra innings. And there would be 3/4 of a bottle of wine left from the 2 or 3 that we were consuming that evening.
Yes.
And I would kill it dead. Kill it dead. And then get up in the morning and do the same thing all day again.
Yeah.
It's not cool, but it happens to a lot of people.
I mean, as far as being an addict and OCD, I hate a half a bottle of anything.
Don't want to leave that behind.
What? if you don't mind, you're very... I'm honest about, hey, like, if I eat a bag of chips, I know that I have to stop at half the bag. Like, I feel the same way sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, I can't eat the whole thing.
I really shouldn't even start. I should not eat the whole thing. I can't start because I will. I'll eat the whole thing.
Is there... Mm-hmm.
Last night, I watched Perry Mason on HBO and killed a bag of tortilla chips. Attaboy.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Tostitos or Utz?
No, they were cantina styled chips.
Oh,
from artisan chips. Yeah.
Delicious.
They were really good.
Yeah. Do you have any dip with them?
Organic salsa. Nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Maybe you've answered it. Is there a go-to snack that you're like, this is good? Like smart food popcorn. Everyone thinks, including myself, it's healthy.
Like a healthy thing? For me, it's got to be carrots. If I'm going to do a healthy
thing. No. An unhealthy thing.
An unhealthy thing that you quantify in your mind.
You're like, this isn't so bad.
Well, no, everything that's unhealthy is bad. Candy, do candy.
What
a
kind
lot.
Of candy?
Jelly beans.
Oh, all right.
Jelly bean addict, love jelly beans. And if there's chocolate in the house, look out.
Got it.
Yeah. So,
you gotta fight it.
What about these magical weight loss things that are around there? Would you ever consider that?
No, because I can do it without that.
Okay.
I've used weight loss drugs.
Yeah, I know. You've proven it.
Fen didn't kill me.
Yeah,
I did them all. People need
they
to know.
They asked me if I wanted to keep on going. Do you want to spend $1 million for this stuff for another month? I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Keep it coming, please. I go get my shot today.
Are you painfully hungry right now?
No, oddly enough.
Oh, that's good.
But I will tell you this. I usually, more often than not, I'll grab a protein bar in the morning. And on the days that I get weighed in, which is today, I said, I sometimes skip it. Not today. Yeah. Wasn't going to happen. That's the hunger I get now. The hunger I get now is sated immediately. Once I have something to eat. I also ate a big hunk of ribeye yesterday.
No.
That's okay, though.
I don't go over the spot. And I give myself one of the things
you should
that
get away from that. That's a really fatty cut, though. Could you get by with a strip
Well,
steak?
Carla likes ribeyes. I like New York strips.
The kids
like
it. Attaboy. Yeah.
Carla likes a ribeye, Oscar. That's not the kids like it.
Oscar, another thing for me, mozzarella sticks.
Oh,
in the air
I
fryer.
Love mozzarella sticks.
Those are good for
I like
you.
The whole
sleeve. They are. They really are, because there's not. It's pure food, not
pure
processed,
cheese, breaded and hot, and fried in hot oil. Yum yum.
Congratulations. I use the air fryer.
Okay, good for you.
I'm better.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
on
you guys.
1 year of sobriety. And when we come back, I've got news, and then later on in the show, we have so much I don't even know where to begin, but weird characteristics, 3 months of travel, or rats. All that coming up today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rats! People all over are talking about a new way of pampering themselves.
The Brazilian. I thought it had something to do with beekeeping.
Introducing a new you, feeling young and vibrant.
Dirk a glove. Why can I not get the name Dirk out of my head?
Hey, ladies. Oh. Let's get you looking radiant.
Here's an unsolicited testimonial about Dirk a glove.
Hi. I'm Vicky. Dirt Glow worked a little for me. And I'm a 58-year-old man who just joined a retired men's bowling league.
Well, it ain't for everyone. If you really want to pamper yourself, check out the real thing. Check out Derm Glow Skin to see what Carla can do for you.
She is a pure artist in her field. Oh, by the way, men need not apply.
Oh, even though, even
for thank products you. Or consultation, visit DermGlowSkin.com today.
And by the way, hi, Carla.
Thank you, Dirk Vastrick, Jim Amato. Thanks for doing those promos. We love them. Let's face it, trends and fads come and go, especially when it comes to health and wellness. Noom is not a fad. They use psychology, not trends, to help you make intentional and sustainable choices that are aligned with your values and weight loss goals. Noom allows you to build more sustainable habits and behaviors. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. It's the inner government. It's the old noggin that affects you more than anything. Whatever your health goals are, Noom focuses on progress instead of perfection, which is essential. You can I can't tell you the number of times prior to Noom I would get sidetracked and then chuck it just by saying that's it. So many people do that.
Right.
If you've had the bad day, Noom is perfect for letting you know you get back on the pony and you ride it. And not the one that works in our studios in Washington,
no,
D.C.
Thank you.
First-time Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds after being active in the program for 16 weeks. I love Noom Weight because it works. Oscar has used it. Also, Carla has used it. Oscar's lost over 20 pounds.
Yes.
Amazing results. Stop chasing health trends and build sustainable, healthy habits with Noom's psychology-based approach. Good timing for that commercial, by the way.
Yes.
Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial today. And check out Noom's first ever book. It's called The Noom Mindset. That is a deep dive into the psychology of behavior change, because that's what it's all about. Available now wherever books are sold.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage, ladies and gentlemen, and we begin today with Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith, an early podcaster, guy that we've kind of looked at for guidance over the years. Very, very interesting and popular podcast. He started smoking pot after working with Seth Rogen on the movie Zach and Miri Make a Porno. But Kevin recently revealed that he quit toking because he realized he, quote, wasn't really present. There's that word again, Rob.
Yeah.
He wasn't really present anymore and had just been using it to cover a very big wound in his heart. Well, Seth Rogen was a little surprised to hear that, but he says, quote, if you think you come to weed late in your life, it's easier to give up. You're an interloper. you're a tourist. It's just a phase for you. You think you're adopting a whole thing, and years later, you're like, what am I doing? This is not me. He adds, so he's explaining the behavior, that it's not for you when you come to it late in life. He adds, quote, but for me, it is me. He wants to reiterate that. And I get it.
Good for him.
Would we be accurate in saying people that have crossed our paths, and I'm talking about the three of us collectively, who were really, really into weed, there was a lack of presence?
Of course.
Many, many times.
And Oscar has a great theory about weed smokers.
What's that?
Which is that if they could stop, they would be better people because all they think about is getting weed.
Yeah. If for the people, at least in my life.
Yeah.
No names will be used.
No names.
Here. If they use that power and energy that I've seen, you know, essentially, not just not just expressed, but actually pushed towards when are we going to get weed or how are we going to get high or do you want to go smoke out back? If you use that time and energy to actually create and build, you would be kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that goes for other drugs as well and alcohol probably.
True.
So even though we just won an Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Kiwi Kwan is still really scared his career will stall again. This is the performer.
Yep.
This is a guy that's been at it since he was a child actor, and I get it. Here's his quote. I've been down this road before, and I'm so afraid that history is going to repeat itself. I said to my agent, please, whatever you do, please make sure that does not happen. Kwan actually had a conversation about this with Kate Blanchett at a recent event, and she gave him this advice, quote, "Just go with your heart and be irresponsible. Don't worry about what other people think." Well, if you're Kate Winslet, Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
You can kind of do that.
It's choose the same something thing about, that you believe like, in. It's like people from the Depression. You know, they could have $1 million and they're still saving the butt of a loaf of bread because they've experienced that.
That's how you win.
She says to Kiwi, choose something you believe in, choose something that you love, and things will work out. So, yeah, I think they're, especially in Hollywood, when you're talking about choices that have to be made for projects, it's a lot easier to do that when you're a Kate Blanchett and you're not a Kiwi Kwan.
Yeah, when I was talking to Kiwi, I said, choose a career you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Shut up. Speaking of a career you love, he loves the movies, but man, is he going to make some bank. Ryan Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen. This will be better than a paycheck for Deadpool. His company that you've seen ads for, I'm sure, Mint Mobile.
Yes.
Being sold to T-Mobile, my new company, for $1.35
billion. $1 billion.
Dropping the bucket for Teletech.
Yes.
Ryan is a 25% stakeholder in Mint Mobile, which means he's going to make a ton. It's not clear how much, though. He issued a statement saying, quote, "We're so happy T-Mobile beat out an aggressive last-minute bid from my mom." He always says, I think it's like he has writers in his house. And for some reason, you love Ryan's Mint Mobile commercials. Don't worry. He will be staying on as a spokesperson, so he gets that gig.
Key man clause.
Yeah. There you go. Do you, congratulations.
Handsome fellow.
I can't hate him.
No, you can't.
I want to hate him.
I can't hate him, but I can tire of him.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the type of movies. I think that there, a la Tom Hanks, is a tremendous amount of depth there, and I'd like to see him branch out and give his fans like us more stuff than just the snappy patter of Deadpool. I'd like to see more depth. Is that fair? Do you think
what I'm talking about?
What was his time travel movie where he went back? It was a Netflix deal. And he went back.
I remember that.
And it was
the
Gray
Man or something like that?
No, that was the other Ryan. Gosling.
All right. It was a great movie.
It's Gosling. I get the Ryans always confused.
Yeah. O'Neill.
Seacrest. Gosling. let's move on, shall we? You don't have to wait until you're hungover to regret St. Patrick's Day. You can start regretting any plans you've made right now. Now, we pulled off of our St. Patty's Day plans.
Right.
But apparently, regretting your plans for St. Patrick's Day, sorry, Oscar, is fairly common. A recent poll asked people if they ever make plans, then feel lazy or tired and wish they hadn't, which could happen to you on the plane tomorrow.
Yes.
It really could. Almost everyone said it happens sometimes. Happens to me constantly. We'll get excited, and usually with alcohol. We should get together tomorrow and do the thing. And then the day comes, and it's like, oh.
I've heard it said, after the age of 50, is there anything better than someone canceling plans?
It's true.
That's 36% so great.
Said a lot. 8% said they never feel that way. That's lying. I always want to go out. Yay!
And Mike, 10% didn't know.
Right. The younger you are, the more likely you are to say it's true. Maybe because young people just make more plans in general. 56% of people under 30 said they regularly regret plans they've made. It goes down and down after that. Just 12% of seniors say it happens a lot.
That's because we don't make any plans. I'm planning to go in a box.
By the way, if you go to a bar tomorrow and immediately regret being there is no better day off of the year to pull the Irish goodbye. And if you don't know what that
True
is,
enough.
I ain't going to tell anybody because that's a secret for my Irish fans. The Irish goodbye, something I used to do regularly.
Dropkick Murphys playing Fenway. What is it? MGM Music Hall at Fenway Park tomorrow, Boston. Tickets are only $146 a piece.
Are you going to go?
No.
Absolutely, you should go. $146 to hear their one good song? Worth it.
It is if I was not with my wife and maybe just my brother, I'd like to go see them, but
I think you'll have alternatives.
Yeah,
that's just my. Are you still planning on going out?
We'll probably go to two bars and then My brother will give us that stank eye, and we're like, fine, let's go home.
Is he picking you up, and are you going out with him?
We're all going to dinner, and then we're supposed to go to these bars.
Oh, the whole fam?
Well, my dad says he's going to come with, and he'll probably go to one, and then he'll go home.
Your dad's going to be up there, too?
That's the whole reason we're going to Boston.
Well, is it a special day for him? No, I didn't know it was a whole thing. What's going on?
Yeah, my father wanted to see my brother in Boston, and he wanted to see his new home. He hasn't seen his new home yet, and he's going to leave for Bolivia soon. So
he always so it's is a family leaving reunion for Bolivia. Soon. Yes, yeah.
That is true. He always threatens.
Yeah. There's earth-shattering news in the dog world for the first time in 3 decades. This dog is not America's number one dog. Do you know which dog it is?
Well, it has to be Linus.
No, it is not your dog.
Oh,
no.
It's got to be a little
the
dog.
The breed. I'm
it's
talking about
be a
the
little,
breed.
Little dog.
I'd say a beagle. Yeah.
No.
It's
and not a little dog.
Labradoodle?
A Labrador Retriever.
Oh. The overbred Labrador Retriever.
The American Kennel Club has released its list of the most popular dog breeds in the U.S.
Jay Peterman.
In 2022, based on registration statistics, the French Bulldog is number one for the first time. And by the way, there was a breed I saw at one of Michael's flag football games. I believe it is called the Bully Pit.
Ooh.
And it is a combination of a French bulldog and a pit bull. And it is one of the most amazingly cute dogs I have ever seen. And then it bit my testicle off.
Oh,
no. Anyway, the French bulldog number one. Here are the top 10. German short-haired pointers. What? On the top 10, the whole tray?
This is a very hateful dog. I'm not going to tell you what they're pointing at, Mike.
I think that the Hun has gotten hold of this list.
The Hun.
German short-haired pointers.
Okay,
Dachshunds
General Pat.
In the first four. German short-haired pointers, Dachshunds, Beagles, and Rottweilers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Germans dog.
Quite a list.
German Shepherds. There are like five. Half this list is German dogs.
Yes.
Rottweilers, Bulldogs, Poodles. Golden Retrievers, Labrador Retrievers, and French Bulldogs. There's the list. There you go.
I didn't see
the
that coming.
The Hunts. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there it is.
This is my mom's dog, Reddy.
Hi, Reddy.
Sleeping?
Is Reddy sleeping or
no,
is Reddy
talking.
Excited?
Talking.
Needs a CPAP.
That's lovely. Thank you. And now a little something something. 31-year-old Kike Hernandez of your Boston Red Sox recently revealed that he accidentally sharted on the field during the 2020 National League Division Series.
Down at Fenway Park.
He blamed it. No. It was the National. I think when he played for the Dodgers,
okay.
He blamed it on and those gray or white uniforms.
Oh yeah,
he blamed it on antibiotics he was taking for a tooth infection at the time, which caused him to have diarrhea. When you're sliding into home and you feel a bit of fun, the folks at Dude Wipes got wind of Kike's misfortune and decided to send him a ton of butt-friendly items just in case disaster strikes again. They've learned that the personal care brand hooked up with the World Series champ with regular and to-go wipes and some toilet spray, and Kike was stoked. In fact, Hernandez was so thrilled, he took a photo with a bunch of the products, smiling ear to ear. It was great timing on Dude Wipes' part. Red Sox opening day is in just 2 weeks, and they can also improve on last year's season when they also played like
Mike.
Thank you.
Edwin Diaz of the Mets, hurting his knee at the World Baseball Classic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Do you have any commentary on that?
National Leaguer, not in my purview.
Okay.
If it was Aaron Judge, I'd have comments for days that would be most like, all right. We'll be right back.
Down yonder in New Orleans,
a town in New Orleans.
I'm walking to New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
The
Michael Mara Show live Saturday, April 15th, 2023 at the legendary House of Blues in New Orleans.
How y'all are? I'm glad for you to see me, I guarantee.
Tickets available now at MichaelMaraShow.com.
All right, so we sold all our first tickets, and then these tickets are going. What do you say, Oscar? What should we be telling people right now? What's the deal? Well, what's the deal, yo? Because we will sell them in New Orleans when we get there. I'd rather not. Well, I'd rather have you make last-minute plans and come to New Orleans.
As someone who just booked an additional hotel room for one of my guests, the prices are actually less than they were a month ago.
Yeah.
All right.
I was shocked. So enough for the tickets. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So really, grab your tickets. Yeah. We got a few left, and we'd love to see
hotel, flights,
you there.
Hotel, flights cheaper than they were a month ago.
They sure are.
So come to see us in New Orleans, and that whole thing about, you know, as we get closer, you know, it was a weird way that we sold them this year. So it didn't.
This happens every year. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
You keep saying that, but it happened last time. It happens every year. It's up to the showtime when we sell out.
Really?
Yes.
All right. So should I stop talking about it?
Yeah. I mean,
Well, no.
You have to promote it, but stop self-pitying yourself.
We're winners.
We're winners at life. We've been doing this for almost 15 years.
Let's move on to the next commercial. I need an afternoon reset. Do yourself a favor and snag 5 minutes for a dadgrass tote break.
Yes.
They've also got momgrass joints as the perfect pick-me-up to spark your creative flow, or the original dadgrass joints to quiet your mind after your 9-to-5. Dadgrass, legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, how about their CBD tincture? It's made with the same quality.
That's my go-to.
Hemp.
Yes.
It's easy to dose, the effects come on smooth, and if you're not looking to toke, Dadgrass also offers the finest tinctures and gummies on the market. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required. Dadgrass, well, we kind of said that to you twice, but that's okay. We did that.
I use the classic formula to go to bed. Just relaxes.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the good old U.S. of A. Right now, Dadgrass offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man, that's dadgrass.com/TMOS. All right, so we'll get to the rats in a second, but I want to ask Rob, because we've been keeping tabs on when last we checked in. It's been a lot of Rob in the last couple of weeks because a lot's gone on in his world.
Right.
And one of the things was he flipped his car on the Dulles Access Road outside of Washington, D.C. And then he came in this week and mentioned that obviously things have gone right with the insurance because Rob has not only purchased a new vehicle, but he has upgraded to a larger vehicle. Are you in that vehicle now?
Yes, the Subaru Outback.
All right, wonderful.
Which is it's a little longer and a little wider than the Forester. Mm-hmm. And a little more expensive, although the one I bought was actually comparable. It's a beautiful car with a black interior. The outside is cosmic pearl blue.
It is beautiful.
It's a beautiful car, and I am loving it.
During the test drive, did they let you flip it just to make sure it was the right one for you?
I took it on the toll road, and I got it up to about 75 and took a hard left, and it stayed level. So I decided to keep it.
No center of gravity.
Listen, if you're taking a test drive and you want to flip your car, you got to do what we do all the time. When I want to flip a test drive, I have them put a live bee in the car.
Mike,
which actually, I am telling the truth, happened to me coming from WOHN on the aforementioned Dulles Toll Road.
There was
a bee in the car. I am not kidding you. I can do it to camera, and I'll show you what that looked like. I'm driving along. I'm like, oh, my God. And I was down the bank.
Yeah.
I was down the bank and had to bring the car back up. I could have rolled.
And that's in the old days when you don't have power windows.
No, it's working.
You would have to roll down a window to get the bee out.
Oh, that's when my car was a crank start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
So what were you saying? I interrupted you,
Oscar.
Right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Oscar.
How did insurance take care of this? Because we never got resolution.
They gave me a very, very good settlement, and they took care of paying off the duration of the loan. And I had enough for a down payment to get into this, and I had to extend my payments by a year, but it's the same amount. So, I mean, we're not really feeling a crunch.
And you like the car?
Love the car. And the thing that I question.
Same dealership?
Yep.
You're back.
I would never go anywhere else. Because
so you like them.
I love them, and I love
Get
Subaru.
Get them to advertise them. We can mention the name of the dealership.
But I do have a question. You guys are car guys. Have you heard of this thing called Silajet? C-I-L-A-J-E-T.
Sounds like an undercoating to me. Sounds like that aftermarket
they
coating they put in to raise the car and
they
price by $1,000.
Nuts in a vise.
But it's not an undercoat. It's an overcoat.
Yeah, okay. So it's the Rain-X
ceramic coating.
Yeah.
How much did you pay?
BS.
It was, I think it was like
$1,200. Oh, my God.
That's their price point. That's what they do.
I'm going to throw up. You could have gotten it for $300 outside the dealership.
But here's my question. Because they would not let it go because I was back and forth as to whether or not to get it.
Just say no.
I did. And they kept
coming
back.
It wasn't already on?
No, he paid for it.
This is the thing. Is it already on and then they charge you for it?
No.
Because they were so relentless in getting me to buy it. Now, granted, I've had it before. It does make a beautiful difference on the show. I didn't know we can do it aftermarket. It does make your car bead like crazy. Your car rinses clean.
I look at all those things. Look, the finish they put on these automobiles anyway, your basic finishes are designed to fight against weather and do all that. That's just an add-on. That is an add-on.
It's an add-on.
That's what the most margin is there for the dealer.
It's for the dealer. That's what they do.
But I really do feel it might have already been on when they started the
Why don't they call it what it is? The BS coding.
No, guys. The only
would you
reason
like your
I know.
Car, listen, before you take delivery, would you like the car dipped in bullshit?
This is a dirty show.
Go ahead, Oscar. I'm doing that to you a lot. Yeah. My apologies. Sorry.
In a past life, I had someone close in my life that I might have shared a bed with.
Is this Chad?
She was an aftermarket. Like, she was the closer. Uh-huh. She was pretty. She would convince people to do things, and I'd ask her. It's like, how much does that really cost? She goes, oh, like there's like 1,000% markup on this. You can negotiate down the aftermarket. You can negotiate that down if you'd like, because we want to make something off of it. We already have it. It doesn't take that long to put on. This is the undercoating.
That's the other thing.
The paint coating.
They did it in like 5 minutes. It makes me think it was already on there.
Was it sold to you by the salesman on the floor?
Yes. And
it was not sold to you in the business office.
No, and I've had it before. I do like it. Now, if I had known that I could get it cheaper, I would have gotten it cheaper.
Yeah, but I mean, if you like it, I get it. But I mean, do you really like it?
Is it
really
something you like it, or do you think you like it?
I know I like it.
How can you tell? It's just a clear coat.
Did your car slide?
Don't even make this
manner
joke
when you flipped
when
it.
I flipped it. I get it. No. It's not really a safety feature.
There's that
it's not like it's a coat of shellac. It's just they spray it on. Probably. I don't know. I mean, isn't it really invisible?
Mike, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. But do you really know if it does anything because it's invisible? What a perfect thing. Oh, and by the way, we're going to put the Scylla. We're going to put the Priscilla Presley coating on it. And well, what does that do? Oh, it's an amazing. It protects the car against nuclear attack, and it's fantastic. And by the way, we will add $1,200 to the price of the automobile, Mr. Spiewak.
I could see spending anywhere near that amount of money if you were getting a car like a clear wrap around your bumper,
right.
To make sure that you don't have a pebble scuff up under the undercarriage or that bottom
part.
Why
didn't you spend that money to go to like an aftermarket place where they would really wrap the car with something visual like a Wordle?
Yeah. Or perhaps something for the Mike O'Mara show.
Or TCB.
Or TCB.
TCB, yes.
Already have the sticker.
Your car could look like a microphone.
Turn it into a giant blue microphone. But anyway, perhaps I acted badly.
You're not
on
alone
that.
In America. Everybody goes through this.
But anyway, I'm just wondering if that was the scam, but apparently it's not. If it goes on in 5 minutes, it does go on in 5 minutes.
And yeah, it's a clear. It's like a polyurethane clear coat type.
Yeah. It was developed by the airline industry, if you go to the
website. Oh, by the way, when you come down, Carla's super luxury car that she has,
yes.
You guys will be probably the last people to see it before it goes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've decided.
Enough.
Yeah, if you really want to get rid of it, let me take it for a spin.
Okay.
Yes. Congratulations. I saw the picture you sent over.
Yes.
Who did you go with?
What's that?
To pick up the car.
Oh, I went with my mom because Carrie was actually working that day.
Yeah.
And so it was.
That's sweet.
It was. And my mom had.
Does Carrie get into cars? Is she into cars?
Not really.
They don't
not
last long like enough to get into them.
But she got into the other one twice.
Really?
No.
What is she driving around in?
She's in the
Kia, right?
2017, 18 Kia Sorento. Still a nice car. We like
still
it.
Still a nice car, but it ain't your Subaru.
It ain't, no. But then you know what? Nor does she spend 2.5 hours in the car every day.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good for her. Okay. We spent a lot of time on you today, Mr. Mann.
That Kia is great to get to and from plastic surgery appointments.
We'll take a break. And when we come back, I'll tell you about a documentary. Or we'll talk about, you know what? Talk about rats.
Rats.
Oscar's going to give us an update. It's going to be an update on his rap problem when we come back on the Michael Merritt Show, everybody. Thank you.
This week's bonus show is award-winning with Tales from the Car Wash, Secrets from the Back Seat, and a salute to the silver screen.
Hi, I'm Rob.
Hi, I'm Oscar.
It's a wonderful night for Oscar.
My ass hasn't ever looked better in my jeans. He thought my boyfriend just left.
I would like to see Jimmy Kimmel punch Liza Minnelli.
Frankly, dear, I don't give a damn.
Will they make it illegal to fly your airplane hand out the car window?
How do you kill a dead man?
Today's been a lot about me.
Critics are raving about the TMOS bonus show. Subscribe and download today to find out why at MikeOmeraShow.com.
And that's what you get on the bonus show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life.
No, I have my belt on today.
All right, there we go.
As do I.
Hold on. We're talking about the wallets now.
Sorry.
Hold on. Don't take your belt off. You don't have to. Wallets that make you... Turn the music off.
Okay, music is off.
Wallets that make you feel cool. Wallets that make you feel cool. Wallets that make you feel cool. There you go. It's my Groove Life wallet.
I love that you did that.
It's all my cards splayed out. I keep my credit cards right in that little hole right there, and I'm going to put them back. That's all.
That's
all. Super cool.
Done.
It's really a wonderful product.
It is.
Are you still using the same wallet from 2003? Are you? Now is the time to update your wallet game, people. The Groove Wallet is a sleek, low-profile wallet engineered for everyday use. One simple thumb motion. It's this easy. Perfectly fans out up to six cards.
You don't need to bear down to do it.
Now I can do it while I'm talking. And with its durable, high-quality aluminum outer shell, this wallet is unlike any wallet I have ever seen, and that's why it went right into my back pocket right away. And by the way, it's so wonderfully sleek, it can go in any pocket. Doesn't matter, because it's Groove Life. It's a Groove Life wallet, and they have a 94-year, no BS warranty. The Groove Wallet is the last wallet you will ever need. And how cool is that? I used to burn them up. I would burn them up with my butt cheeks. You're going to love yours, too. I am serious. It's time to bring your wallet into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS and get this product that I love more than any new product we've gotten on the Mike O'Mara Show in a million years. No, that's not true. I like a lot of products.
Burn them up.
I love this product. You get 20% off with promo code TMOS off all Groove Life products. They make phenomenal belts as well.
Yeah.
That's the best offer you'll find. You'll get no offers like this. We are the only ones to... I can't find the rhyme. Anyway, it's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code. Please use the code TMOS. 20% off your order.
20% less.
What?
TMOS.
20% off.
And no, TMOS rhymes with 20% less.
What?
You could say, make your order through TMOS.
Get the order through TMOS. If you do, you'll pay 20% less.
See?
There you go.
Thank you. Just click the button on our website.
Team effort.
Sorry about that. Rats. It's time to talk about rats.
Rats.
Ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I had a little rat issue this week, but Oscar is just crawling with him.
You've seen video.
I'm curious where you're at right now, because I have a news story that might concern you.
The nest of rats that was under my home.
A nest is a gross word.
It's harder to swallow having the news you have. I read ahead.
Okay.
We've gone through multiple iterations of pest control at the house. And it's my fault at the end of the day. I'm cheap. I should have put a subfloor in 5 years ago when we moved in. I said, we're going to remodel the house one day. We'll get to it.
Right.
Never got to it. Probably spent an equal amount of money on the pest control, people coming out, fogging the underneath the house, concrete, patching these holes that these rats were burrowing, dry ice, throwing dry ice under the house, like all of these things that people
do. Why
would
you throw dry ice to make it spooky?
Somehow.
I don't understand.
They sell you on it just like the undercoating.
Yeah.
I'm like, it looks cool. Let's see what happens.
Understand, though, why you didn't put the subfloor in. Why put an architectural feature that's been around since the 1500s on your house?
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
my fault.
Are we, farmers?
I'm cheap.
We don't need that.
I should have done it.
Right.
Yeah. I should have done it when I saw the floorboard warping because the rat was stuck under the house one time.
If you want
to
know,
seriously, we're talking about floors. If you're not a DIY person, to give you an idea of what it is, if you're a movie buff, Oscar's floor, the floor in his house, is the same type of floor used in Inglourious Bastards when in the opening scene where they go to the French house and they find the people hiding under the floor.
Yes.
So, in
Oscar's floor, though, there's just two podcasters and a rat.
The last video evidence I shared with you guys, where you could see the rats coming in and out with the camera.
Yes.
They've patched that hole. And ever since then, all I see on the streets of D.C. are rats outside my home.
Yes.
The camera has not shown any new nests because after they dry ice it, they put the chemicals under the house. I'm sure a tumor will show up 3 years from now.
No evidence
as of yet.
Well, you better be careful.
In a month and a half. So I'm excited about
that. You better be careful.
That's a W.
Yes.
Well, because in New York City, they have found that rats can carry COVID-19.
Just
any, but the Alpha, Delta, and Omicron variants. And here's the deal. They took samples from 79 rats, and they found that 13 were positive for transmittable COVID, or 17%. Roughly 1 in 5 rats have transmittable COVID in New York City.
Even grosser now, because prior to COVID being what it is today, or the pandemic starting, you remember in my home, we heard some while we were laying in bed, and a rat popped up from behind the headboard and was just sitting on one of our pillows. Gross.
That's so nasty.
That is bad. That is,
and this is upstairs.
This is in the marital bed.
Upstairs.
Yeah, they can do steps and walls and whatnot.
Yeah, I know they can climb. I watched Willard. I know what can happen, you know?
By the way, it's not about the weatherman.
I know the movie.
Okay, let's see what's going on in your neck of the woods.
So there were two pieces of one in the driveway when we went out the other morning.
Two pieces of rat?
It appeared the rat had been dispatched by some of the local wildlife, and that's what we had. You know, I'm walking out to take my kid to school. Daddy, look, there's a rat. It's a dead rat. It was the nastiest looking thing.
You couldn't feed that to the snake?
No. That was a live mouse that I did yesterday. We did the feeding yesterday.
Mm.
We've gone away from the rats. You know why? Because the rats are nasty, biting, little creepy. The mice, much more innocent.
Yeah.
You know, Stuart Little goes in there and it's like, pow. And I'm talking pow now. Mm. This snake is getting much stronger, much longer, much bigger. And that mouse hits the aquarium or the terrarium and pow. It's gonzo time. It's very painless for the
That's
mouse.
Human.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah.
Rudy used to say. It's very painless for the mouse.
Well, but I'm glad to hear you don't have any evidence of rats.
I don't.
Just be careful.
The COVID news.
COVID sucks. That's horrible.
Is the word skeeves?
Yeah, it gives you the skeeves. Or skeeves you out. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're everywhere.
As long as you're not on a plane where one of the rats is traveling and you're wearing a mask, you're okay, right?
What if
it's not like thanks, it's like if the rat is delivering a package? Remember those myths that we all followed?
Yeah.
That you had to swab down your packet. No, if the rat's dropping off one of your Amazon gifts, it doesn't matter because they can't transmit it that way.
What if the rat is flying the plane?
Well, I have no comedy answer for that, Rob, but thank you for giving me that one. The rat flying the plane.
There might be snakes on a plane.
Little hat.
Could take care of the rat.
Right. God, rats with COVID. That is that. New York, man.
Or
yeah.
Even any big city. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Belgium. COVID. Tokyo.
Okay. God, he's wound up today, isn't he? We gave him too much airtime. We'll be back with more of him.
He's a desperado that takes care of business.
I'm the wrangler, is what I am.
Riding and roping and always getting it done.
Did you see me wrangle before the show today?
You did.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Sometimes trouble just follows a man.
Folks don't know much about him except for his name.
The Bolivian Wrangler.
The Bolivian Wrangler.
Put that on my tombstone.
He may not know basic American history.
When was the Bay of Pigs?
The Roaring 50s.
The Depression was in the 20s.
You're insane.
But when he wants to wrangle up some goods for the office or his hacienda.
Aye, that's Spanish for house.
He shops at Target and Walmart through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com. And with a few clicks, he can pick it up at the store or have it shipped to his door.
You'll thank me for this.
Shop like the Bolivian Wrangler because he knows that getting the big deals is mighty satisfying.
I'm feeling great.
Who was that masked man?
That's Master Dialectician, Mr. Jim Amato, telling you all about that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, home movies can transport us back to unforgettable times. I bet you have more than a few memories that you wish you could relive or pass down to your kids. Legacy Box helps bring new life to your old media, like videotapes, Super 8 films, or in my case, they actually can take a picture of the cave wall where my family drew pictures of each other.
Your father killing a bison?
No, it's I'm talking about the videos and the photos and stuff and things that you can put them in easy to use digital format so your memories live forever. Legacy Box, a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to perfectly preserved digital files. Plus, Legacy Box is the industry leader. They've helped over a million customers safeguard their past. We've all used it. We all loved it. The memories they have preserved for me are absolutely invaluable. It's all the Super 8 movies that my dad took of me when I was in the circus. Right now, Legacy Box is offering our listeners an incredible 50% off. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS in order today. It takes advantage of these wonderful low prices, and then you can send along your aging media when you're ready. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. There's never been a better time to preserve your entire collection, so do it today.
Hello. Upside down.
Roll over.
Rolling. Yeah.
Let me roll it.
Flip, flop, and fly.
The flip side.
This is something I don't have to worry about when I travel to see you in a couple weeks, Mike.
Okay.
It was trending on Reddit yesterday. The man who had a couple margaritas and was acting belligerent. So when the cops approached him, instead of toning it down, the belligerence continued. And what do we love to do in America? They tased him.
About 3 margaritas.
Yeah. They asked him how much he had to drink.
About 3 margaritas. Yeah, you got a problem with that? Yeah.
Listen, cool. I'm on a flight and I paid $2,000 to be on. Wow. There's no reason
it's airport.
To arrest yep. me.
Turn around now.
Why?
Your other hand now.
Showtime.
It was an excellent tasing. He went down with his legs akimbo.
I love it.
It was a good one. So
also
the airport,
stop at 2 margaritas, I guess.
Good for them.
Yes. And the margarita, as far as portion size, is a vastly varied cauldron of booze.
It is. And Mike, just because I don't drink anymore doesn't mean I still can't speak the language. They can they can go in any direction.
They can, and really, you never know whether you're going to get just a regular drink-sized glass or, like when I walk into a Guanamia and I said, get me a bathtub.
Yes, exactly. Mike, yum, yum. There's been a lot of rain in Southern California. And what that has resulted...
I talked to my daughter about it the other day.
A lot of the lower lying pieces of ground, mm-hmm. there's standing water. What do they always say? Don't drive through standing water.
Don't drown, turn around.
So with that said, there's a guy doing a live piece under a bridge in Southern California.
Dumbest show in America.
Mike, right here. Call Miss Utility. Yeah. But it's, so he's doing a live shot.
You see how he tried to one up you? He has to. He can't help himself. He's got to do that.
No, Mike, what happens is it
triggers
him. Don't drown,
turn around was the definitive word on the puddle, but go ahead.
They're doing a live shot, and a guy watches, some reporter watches the guy try to drive through the puddle. This is what happened.
This guy is going to go for it. That is not recommended. Oh, my gosh. And I'm pretty sure he just got stuck right there. Guys, the water literally, he had his window down. The water was literally going inside onto his lap as he
drove
through.
Can he be any more excited?
I can't believe that just happened. Yeah, he's stuck. He is stuck. I honestly felt so bad for this guy. And he sat in that car for a moment, then minutes later got out, got on the roof of his car, slid down onto the trunk, and then walked his way out. He actually fell at one point into the water, so he was not thrilled about that situation. That is just an example of what can happen. And he saw the vehicles that were stuck in the water, and he saw us, news here, covering the situation,
decided. I never do this.
And then
I never
they tased him.
Hold on. Oh. There. Oh, and now... Damn it. When I rush it. By the way, you didn't continue with the entire clip. They interviewed the guy after.
Yes.
Right? And, I have it right here. Let me play it. They asked him how he felt about the situation. So let's play that tape
please.
Right now.
I could have used better judgment.
Mike.
Dumbest show in the world right
Congratulations
here.
To Texan Mary McCoy. Do you know why?
No.
She just observed her 72nd year the air.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
She's been on the radio for 72 years in Texas. She's the Guinness World Record holder, and she still sounds pretty with it.
Back in 1951, I had the pleasure of meeting all those artists from Jim Reeves, Elvis, goodness, just all Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, you name them, they were there. I love the people. I love radio. They all go together, and I thank God every day I can still do my radio and love my people.
And, you know, not only is her
and
radio...
And she was an intern for Sir.
Mike.
That's a joke. It's a little joke.
If you like her radio show, make sure to check out her OnlyFans. It's hot.
Okay.
Yeah, let's close with this. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And Greg Fitzsimmons, great comic, a guy who's been very nice to me in the past, has this take on St. Patrick's Day in the Fitzsimmons house, Mike.
That's my day, St. Patrick's Day. I grew up marching with my grandfather with the Ancient Order of Hibernians from the Bronx every year. And it's same thing every year, up at the crack of dawn, drinking, fighting, throwing up. And then you leave the house, things get bad. I'm proud to be Irish, but my mother's a fanatic. Like some Irish people, they think they're divine. They think that the Irish are the highest of the Catholics. Like they mix a leprechaun with Jesus, and that's what it's just very special. Like my mother's like, you'll notice a lot of Irish people born right around Christmas. And then I got old enough to read a calendar, I realized Christmas is exactly 9 months after St. Patrick's Day. So really, it has a lot less to do with some kind of divine intervention and a lot more to do with some kind of a drunken fight at a Blarney Stone followed by some sloppy makeup sex with no protection.
Mike, that's all I got. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, everybody, don't forget, wear your green. I wore it today a day early,
nice.
So I don't know what
the
hell
I'm gonna
do.
You wear green every day.
Ah, yes, I love green, the wearing of the green. Anyway, we'll be back with a brand new episode of the bonus show tomorrow and drunken stories. We will not be getting loaded, though, because that's just not appropriate anymore. How sad is that to say? Thanks, Rob. Anyway, congratulations on a year of sobriety. We'll
thanks,
be back
buddy.
Tomorrow with a bonus. For Rob Speedwagon, Oscar Santana, this is Marco Romero signing. Turn around. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
One wouldn't hurt.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Get off my property or I'll call the cops on you.
Hello, everybody.
The archers are ready, sire.
Not the archers. My scouts tell me their archers are miles away and no threat to us. Arrows cost money. Use up the Irish. The dead cost nothing.
If you're waiting for a hug, you might want to pack a lunch.